Blog Talk Radio.
I love and appreciate you that you have chosen to invest some meat into who you are by joining us this evening. And I thank you. I know you're skipping back between the hors d'oeuvres and everything and watching the game, but I still love you and send blessings your way. I'm excited about the guest who has been hanging out with me in the virtual green room. My guest this evening is Mrs. Nanette Floyd Patterson, who I'll be bringing on live momentarily. I want to remind you that the chat room is up and running. The phone lines are opened, and I welcome your call to join the dialogue. And the number to call is 646-915-8166. And if you're in the chat room and you do not want to call, by all means, go ahead and type your questions in the chat room. Again, the number is 646-915-8166. And without any further delay, I want to bring on my guest, live to you, Mrs. Nanette Floyd Patterson. Hello, Nanette. How are you?
I am fabulous. I hope everyone that is on the call is doing very well.
Yes, we are excited that you chose to spend your time with us, and we know that maybe there's a lot going on around you, but you have decided you want to invest some time
Absolutely.
In my listeners, and I'm thankful for that. Would you please take a few moments and introduce yourself to the listeners? Tell them who Nanette Floyd Patterson is.
Okay. Well, who am I? Well, I am, as Daphne said, Nanette Floyd Patterson. I'm not related to the great boxer, Floyd Patterson. I'm blessed to have that maiden name Floyd there because it's a great conversation piece, because everybody always asks me when I tell them my name, are you related to the professional boxer? No, I'm not. I was born a Floyd and married into the Patterson family. a little about myself. I'm from a small town originally called Washington, North Carolina. We refer to it as Little Washington. I'm a country girl. I'm very proud of it. I grew up in a single family home where my mom did the very best that she could. I graduated from high school on a Monday, and I was in Raleigh, North Carolina on a Tuesday, simply because there was not a whole lot of opportunity in Little Washington or Washington, North Carolina. So I knew that, you know, I wanted more out of life. Most of the jobs down there were either at a restaurant or at one of the local manufacturing companies, and I really did not want those types of jobs. So I just knew there was something better. So I knew that I had to get out of this small town. So as I said, graduated on a Monday, and I was in Raleigh, North Carolina on a Tuesday. And while in Raleigh, I met some really great people, individuals who became my mentors, who basically showed me, hey, there's more to life. There's more out there than, you know, manufacturing work and restaurants. Now, I'm not knocking restaurants because my first job, I was a crew trainer at McDonald's, and I worked there through high school. So I'm really blessed to have had that experience at McDonald's. But after I got here in Raleigh, North Carolina, I met some very nurturing and supportive mentors who I watched like a hawk. You know, I was Daphne. I was basically like a sponge. I watched everything they did. I watched everything they wore, how they talked. You know, this country girl being, you know, exposed to that type, you know, those caliber of people. I was just really excited about it. So I was a sponge, and you know, picking up different things that they showed me. Sort of began my journey as an entrepreneur.
Let me ask you a question. You said you graduated on a Friday and you were out of there on a Tuesday. And what
I graduated
that
on
tells,
a Monday. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And what that tells me is that you were eager for more.
Yes.
Made you so open and so receptive to those mentors?
Mm-hmm.
And what made you so eager to know that there was more? It had to be something deeper than you seeing majority of the people working at restaurants or manufacturing. What inside of you told you there was more?
Well, you know, in watching, my grandmother played a big part in my life, and she's deceased and have been for quite a while now. Watching her, and then I had this aunt who, you know, the jobs that she had were more than the restaurant and manufacturing. She was actually an executive secretary. And I would babysit for her. And my father, who is an entrepreneur, when he and my mom were together, he had always had his own business. So the seeds were planted.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I didn't know the seeds were planted, because I was so observant, Daphne,
mm-hmm.
that's when the seeding started, you know, the seeds started being planted.
Mm-hmm.
That I knew there was something better, and I wanted to go for that. You know, I wanted to shoot for the stars.
As I ask you, though, and as you can, like, look back in your life growing up, would you say that there was something other than what your eyes were seeing? Was there something else compelling inside the core of who Nanette is that was telling her, there is more, you can go for it with all that you have? Yes, the seeds were planted, but there had to be something inside of you that was nurturing those seeds. As you look back, can you recall anything that was nurturing those seeds inside of you?
Well, other than, you know, of course, God was, the Holy Spirit watered those things. The mm-hmm. seeds were planted, but the Holy Spirit watered those things.
Mm-hmm.
And, I also had some wonderful aunts who used to pick me up for church, Bible mm-hmm. study, and on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And as those seeds were being planted, I believe that the Holy Spirit watered those things and mm-hmm. that God put a desire in me
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to shoot for mm-hmm. more, because we all have more in us.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the Holy Spirit put that mm-hmm. that desire there.
Mm-hmm. 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 So you would say that as we have this conversation, and I don't know your age or anything, but as you look on the journey and the path that you have trod, you would look over it and you would feel that spirituality is a vital part of who you have evolved into?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I noticed hispreneur. Would you explain that and what is that?
Absolutely. Well, here's entrepreneur. The Holy Spirit gave me that branding. And what it is, I was going through a time where I was kind of second-guessing what I felt my calling was. And so I started questioning God, am I on the right path? And, I went through several evenings, several late nights, just contemplating and praying and asking God, please, speak to me. Let me know that I'm on the right path. And so I had three nights of waking up between 3 and 3:30, and I just, mm-hmm. couldn't get back to sleep. On the third night, God showed me some things, and as I was going through that journey, I opened up the Bible one day, and it turned to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. And in that scripture, it's when God asked, "Whom shall I send?" And Isaiah spoke up and said, "Here I am, send me."
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I looked at that passage, Daphne, it was as if the H, the I, and the S in that verse had size, had multiplied.
Mm-hmm.
And all I saw was the H, the I, and the S here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, the entrepreneur piece came in when you answer the call of God, when you have heard from God and he said, "Hey, I want you to do this," and when you can say, "Here I am, Lord, send me," you're just like Isaiah.
Mm.
So you become about the Father's business.
Right, 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 right.
So the "his" came from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, "Here I am, send me." But, of course, when you answer the call and you begin to yield to him, you become totally his.
Right, right.
And the entrepreneur word is because once you become his and you yield to the call, you become, you're about his business. So that's where the "his" entrepreneur came from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You heard me giggling. I wasn't giggling at your statement.
Uh-huh.
I was giggling because you mentioned about being awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I giggled because I remember when the Lord woke me up about the Vision Weekend Conference. It was that time
mm-hmm.
of the morning. And then 3 days ago, I was speaking with a friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
and she reminded me that 10 years ago, when we went to a retreat and I had done certain activities, the Vision Conference was deposited in me then.
Mm.
And I said, "Oh my heavens."
Mm-hmm.
I said, I had not remembered that.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept going back to that 3 o'clock when I was awakened
mm-hmm.
with that bullhorn. But now I realize why the bullhorn in that vision because God had gave it to me 10 years before when I didn't do anything.
Mm.
And I said, that's why when I was driving down the expressway, I heard a voice in the back of my Jeep that said, I did not have to give you that vision. I could have given it to somebody else.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
And I said to her, I said, can you put that in writing? Because I need to put that on the website for the Vision Weekend Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Annette, you know, when God calls us, we just need to act on what he gives us. Don't sit and wait for it to complete.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I said to myself, well, how many people have held back from manifesting what they were called to do
mm-hmm.
because I sat so many years on the conference and not do what he
mm-hmm.
wanted me to do. So I am with you, and I know it is no accident that the Lord has connected us.
Mm-hmm.
Because people need to hear more of what you're saying. And to understand, because people need to be encouraged, you know, especially
yes,
believers.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord has given them things for so many years, and they still sit around waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord. And he has already given you something. What have you done with what he gave you? You know?
Yes.
We
absolutely.
Got to know to take action with what we have in order for him to bless us with more.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so I like what I see. I see you have his coach and you have his entrepreneur. And, you know, thank you for so eloquently expressing that.
Yes, yes.
And if you're just joining me, my guest is Nanette Floyd Patterson. And she's joining us from North Carolina. And she's just sharing with us her journey. And I remember when we were in the pre-show conversation, you mentioned that even from a child,
mm-hmm.
back in Little Washington, you were an entrepreneur.
Yes, that I've always had an entrepreneur. You know, every time I think about it, you know, I'm 43. I'm not afraid to say my age because I'm thankful that God allowed me to be 43.
We're the only two women in the world that like to talk about our age. Yep.
I'm just thankful. But when I, you know, sometimes you just sit and you just think back over the years and, you know, how at the time you didn't realize that God was showing you certain things. But when
that's right.
when you mature a little bit and you understand, he'll begin to show you, hey, I showed you this years ago, but it wasn't time for you to understand it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have always been an entrepreneur. It truly surfaced in high school when, you know, as I said, my mom was single. You know, she and my dad mm-hmm. divorced when I was 12. I wanted a car, and
mm-hmm.
She, of course, couldn't afford it, and I was working at McDonald's as a crew trainer. I also worked at the high school as a secretary,
mm-hmm.
but then I said, you know what, I really need a little more, so I began to sell Avon.
All right, now.
So that's when it all started,
mm-hmm.
That entrepreneurship. And then as I, you know, got older, you know, I always felt that just having a job is not enough.
Right.
Simply because there are limits, Daphne, to a job.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with having a job, a job.
Right.
But you
have to use it as stepping stones.
Exactly. That's just one source
mm-hmm.
of income.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
as believers, I believe we are to have more than one stream of income.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, because of the gifts and talents and things that God has put in us.
That's right.
To produce
that's right.
fruit.
That's right. That's right. I want to move us along here. I want to let you be abreast of the time. We have another 10 minutes and 11 seconds
okay.
remaining.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to You're also an ordained minister. So
yes,
how does that tie into all everything that you do?
Well, everything that I do in my practice, which my practice is called the Seed Planter Coaching and Counseling, is Christ-centered and spirit-led.
Mm-hmm.
I've always known that I was called to be a preacher or teacher.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, preacher means teaching, but we've sort of taken that preaching word to another level. But I just recently answered that call about a year and a half or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bring all of that into everything that I do, whether
right.
it's his coaching, his counseling, the therapy. As a,
right.
also a licensed professional counselor, I bring it all into
under
that
one umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
Under
mm-hmm.
one umbrella. Wonderful,
yeah.
wonderful. We have a 9 minutes remaining, and I would like for you to pick out a few high points that you would want the listeners to remember this conversation by. And at the end of that, I would like for you to tell people how to get in touch with you. But first, give them some high points that you would like to leave them with.
Okay. One of the things that I'm really passionate about is helping individuals manifest the vision that God has assigned them. And in order to manifest that vision successfully, they need to first yield to the vision.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they yield to the vision, they need to discover who they really are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that complete design, we all are uniquely designed. And as mm-hmm. I was telling you earlier today, that design is made up of components, your personality, your experience, your abilities, your passions, everything about you God will use for his purpose, to manifest
mm-hmm.
his vision.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about manifesting your vision, you have to begin somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we see a vision as this big mission, and when we see it as this big mission, a lot of times it's hard for us to take that first step because
mm-hmm.
it seems so big.
Mm-hmm.
But what I tell my coaches is I said, you see the big elephant, and there's an old adage, how do you eat an elephant? You eat it one bite at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the visions that God gives us to manifest, whether it's a business, go back to school, whatever it is, we need to see it in small nuggets first.
Mm-hmm.
And then take one step at a time. Don't give up. Take that one step, then the next. And it's also important that you figure out what you're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
If you figure out what you're passionate about, you won't see it as work.
That's right.
And you will enjoy it the most. So encourage all of the listeners to take a few minutes to just ask themselves, who am I really?
Who am I and what do I want? That's right.
Exactly. And what does God want from me? You know, how is God planning on using me to
mm-hmm.
serve his purpose?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And once you figure that out and being able to hear God is very important in anything that we do.
And be obedient to obey what he tells us.
Exactly. Because you can hear him. But if you don't do what he tells you to do, then, you know, someone said to me a long time ago, there are a lot of ideas in the graveyard. And I said, ooh, that's kind of strong. But when I thought about it, I was like, you know,
of course there
it's true.
My mentor and friend says a lot of the richest place on earth is in the graveyard.
Exactly.
Because there are so many unfulfilled dreams lying there because people go around to get everybody else's approval instead of acting on what God gave them.
Exactly. And then one of the other things that I discovered, too, Daphne, is, you know, as believers, sometimes we concentrate more, we sort of misinterpret Psalms 46:10, where it says, "Be still and know that I'm God."
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people, if you ask, well, what are you doing with your life? And they may even share with you what God has given them, but then they'll say, well, I'm just being still right now. I'm just being still.
Well, that's what we talk about at the top of the hour, waiting on the Lord.
Yes,
for 30 years they're waiting on the Lord.
Waiting on the Lord. But if he gave it to you, he meant for you to do something, not just sit on it and wait on him.
That's right. And you know what? And they walk around and tell everybody else about what the Lord said. And what happened? Some of those people take that idea and run with it and act with it, and then they get jealous about it.
Exactly.
Without recalling that they sat on it for how long.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. So I would like to tell the listeners to just take one step at a time, yield to the vision, have an uncommon commitment, and just seek God in, you know, gathering instructions. He'll either speak to you, or he'll send somebody and speak through them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like he used the donkey, he'll use anybody to confirm what you need to do.
That's right.
But
that's
you
right.
You always need to have that spiritual ear.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can folks get in touch with you? We have another 3.5 minutes. How can folks get in touch with you?
Well, people can contact me. They can visit my website, which is www.nanette, that's N-A-N-E-T-T-E, Floyd Patterson with two T's, .com. You can also friend me on Facebook. I love posting on Twitter and Facebook. My Facebook handle is facebook.com/NanetteFloydPatterson. And my Twitter handle is twitter.com/HisEntrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anyone that I can help to do anything, again, I help individuals first discover their complete design and how God plans on using that design to manifest his vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I refer to those services, all the services that I provide, you'll see a his in front of it. It's his coaching, mm-hmm. his counseling.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Is there anything else you are hoping to tell the listeners that I did not get to?
Well, no, I just would like to thank you for this opportunity to, you know, spend time with you and your flock. Anybody that's following you, I refer to them as your flock.
Mm-hmm.
And I just pray that I said something, even if it was just one word, that would encourage individuals to just step out on faith and do what God has probably already told them to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, push through the fear. Push through the awkwardness,
Feel the fear and do it anyhow.
Exactly.
Feel the fear and do it anyhow.
Yes, and if you do that, I promise you your life will be more fulfilled. There will
mm-hmm.
be joy in your life and happiness if you just move forward with the vision that God has given you.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, you have another minute if you want to use it all. You have another minute remaining.
Well, I just for those who have been given a vision of ministry, you know, starting a ministry, I will be having a couple of events within the next 45 days or so where I will be holding individuals' hands from start to finish, how to start their ministry, and even
mm-hmm.
if it's business as ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular class, it's actually Vision Manifestation Boot Camp,
mm-hmm.
I will take special interest with each person
mm-hmm.
and actually hold their hands until it's done because, you know, God's work is very important, and I know sometimes the fear and other what I call calling blockers tend to mm-hmm. keep us stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So with this Vision Manifestation Boot Camp, I plan on really being involved to make sure that the vision has been manifested. And, you know, some people just need that special care.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope we'll see you at the Vision Weekend Conference in March in New York City.
I am trying to figure out how to get to New York City.
Oh, girl, you just book an airplane. The first thing you need to do is to register for the conference, and then you book your book your hotel room and your ticket. New York is easy to get to. Well, I want to thank you for investing time in what I believe in and in all my listeners, and I pray you continued success.
Thank you, Daphne. You have a blessed evening, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
Yes, that was my guest, Nanette Floyd Patterson, joining us and just sharing all the amazing things that she's doing. And it's what an encouragement it is for you to hear somebody else that stepped out and made herself available to be a sponge, as she says, to her mentors and role models and people who are willing to give of themselves. She didn't just sit on the sideline. She absorbed it all. And now she has a career that allows her to give back and pay forward into other people. So what it is that you have been sitting and allowing to become dormant around you, each and every one of us can look in our lives and see things that the Lord has blessed us to do, yet we are sitting around waiting for the perfect moment, the perfect time. The perfect time is when you know that the Lord gave it to you and you are supposed to take action. Action is very, very, very important. So get up and take action now. Move forward, move forward, move forward. So we are going to continue now, and I want to do a bit of housekeeping. This second segment of today's show will be sponsored by
SuperFastLinkBuilding.com. The biggest challenge for business owners and entrepreneurs like you is getting your site to show up on the first page of a Google search. It's been reported that Google often changes their search reporting methods multiple times in the same day. That's why you can't use just any search optimization company. The SEO company that you choose has to think fast and move even faster. At SuperFastLinkBuilding.com, we've designed and developed a unique system to start positioning your site closer to the top. Our complex system of websites and blogs, along with our proprietary algorithms, are pushing our clients' sites to page one every day. Your site will never rise on its own. You've got to do something about it. Subscribe today. SuperFastLinkBuilding.com.
Yes, and I want to invite you to join us tomorrow evening, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, when we will be broadcasting simultaneously with the Building Your Extraordinary Business. On Mondays at 7 to 8 p.m., we showcase one of the speakers that is on the platform for the Vision Weekend Conference. And tomorrow, I think we have a surprise guest, someone who was here before, and we are going to have him back. So we're still waiting on the confirmation for that for tomorrow evening. And the Vision Weekend Conference, which is scheduled for March the 23rd through the 26th, it's a conference designed to educate, inspire, and empower entrepreneurs and small business owners. The attendees of the Vision Weekend Conference will gain insight to grow your business, and make more money. Attract and retain new customers and clients. Learn to understand creative marketing and branding techniques to your business and brand. Understand how social media can help you leverage the global marketplace. You'll also get the opportunity to network with entrepreneurial peers and business owners who should attend the Vision Weekend Conference 2012. Entrepreneurs, small business owners, anyone thinking of starting their own business, marketers and sales professionals, and those currently serving as or desiring to be leaders in their organization. Our guest speakers are span from across the world, and you join us every Monday evening 6 to 7. It will give you an opportunity to meet one of our speakers. Visit us at DaphneClarkHudson.com to pick up your registration, and also to get more information about the conference. We also have an affiliate program that pays extremely well when you help us to promote the Vision Weekend Conference. For more insight, visit DaphneClarkHudson.com, DaphneClarkHudson.com. And also by the end of next week, we will have ready for you our Vision Weekend site. So we are excited that we have secured partnership with the Spain USA Chamber of Commerce. And that is a great endorsement for us. So we are excited about that. So if you have not yet registered, I want you to visit DaphneClarkHudson.com. Grab your registration, and it will, as you register, it will walk you into securing the discounted rated rooms for your hotel. So now we are going to continue with the book, What's Possible. And today I will start with my guest, Eli Kahn. And Eli Kahn is a cartridge for a cure. And the story here begins by saying, the biggest obstacle of my life started before I can even remember. I was diagnosed with leukemia when I was 2.5 years. Not only did I beat that potential deadly disease, I have come up with a creative way to give back to the doctors who saved my life and to help the environment at the same time. I'm 16 years old, and I'm here to tell you that kids can make a difference. My life has been different in many ways since I was a baby and diagnosed with leukemia. If you don't know, leukemia is cancer of the bone marrow and blood. Basically, there's an uncontrollable accumulation of and damaging to the white blood cells in your body. Anemia and lack of disease fighting white blood cells leave you wide open to various infections. Anybody can get leukemia at any time, and doctors don't know what causes it. All they know is that it kills you. But doctors told my parents that if my treatment went as expected, I had more than 80% chance of survival. My doctors at Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore were the best. My pediatrician sent us there over Christmas break 1993, when I had a strange fever and would not go away. Of course, I was too young to remember much, but my parents tell me the situation was very serious. I immediately underwent chemotherapy. Then I had to spend every 6 weeks for 6 months at the Johns Hopkins Children's Center, followed by another 2 years of outpatient chemotherapy, which included having blood drawn through an infuser port implanted in my chest. Then years later, I'm cancer-free and considered to be 100% remission. A complete recovery from leukemia is amazing, but my story doesn't stop there. It really started when I turned 12 and was studying for my bar mitzvah. Part of the preparation meant I had to complete a community service project. Since my cancer treatment and recovery were such a big part of my life, I wanted to do something to help out Johns Hopkins Hospital. I felt the need to give back to those people who literally gave me back my life. But what could a kid do to help out a cancer center? I went online and found that one of the simplest money-making ideas out there was recycling printer cartridge. Sound simple, right? It was and still is, but the results have amazed everyone, including me. At first, only family and friends knew about my project. As it grew, I set up a website with instructions and form as for people to fill out for mailing information and free postage supply. The website notifies me that someone needs a mailing supplies. I notify recycling company and it sends the mailing supplies directly to the customer. Who then packages the used ink cartridge and return them to the company for recycling. I don't handle a cartridge except for the few that people drop by my house. I made about $1 a cartridge, and the California-based recycling company sends me a check each time it receives a submission of cartridge. Things started out slowly. At first, I receive a check for about $15 or $20 each month. My original goal had been to raise $1,800. In a Judaism, 18 is considered a lucky number. So I thought $1,800 in contribution would be a good target to shoot for. But $15 or $20 a month, it would take forever. I thought there had to be a better way. I did more research and discovered the company I was working with was just the middleman. It was taking a huge cut or basically doing nothing. I learned I could become a rep for the main company and keep as much larger piece of the action. So that's what I did. And things took off from there. The program's monthly income immediately jumped to $500 to $1,000 a month. I couldn't believe it. Apparently, other people were amazed as well, because I started getting some media coverage that brought even more business. I sent all the money to Johns Hopkins, making the hospital very happy. A lot of leukemia research is done on zebrafish because their bone marrow and blood cell production is similar to humans. The money I raise is used to buy fish tanks and more fish and whatever else they need. As it turns out, the doctor that treated me in one of the leading research in the nation. This has all grown way past my original bar mitzvah service project. As a result of all the exposure, I was nominated for the Lands and Born Heroes Award. Out of 1,000 entrants, I made it to the final three and was awarded $5,000, which I turned over to the folks at Johns Hopkins Hospital. Then I was nominated for the Volvo for Life Award and was donated $50,000 as well. So far, I've sent the hospital more than $85,000. And all this works with hardly any effort on my part. Honestly, I'm just a normal high school kid who plays water polo and golf, likes music, and hang out with my friends. Someday, I'd like to be a sports agent. I'm as normal as I can be. But I set up this simple system that just crowns out money for a great cause. My whole family is involved too. My sister has started a campus-wide recycling project at Syracuse University and has done fundraisers for my Johns Hopkins Hospital. My parents have served on several of the hospital boards and committees. I'm amazed at how much good can come from one simple action like setting up a recycling outfit for a bar mitzvah project. I'm often asked how I suggest other young people raise money for their charity. I always suggest that they find something that's easy to do My parents have served on hospital boards and committees. I'm amazed at how much good can come out of a simple action, like setting up a recycle outfit for a bar mitzvah project. I'm often asked how I suggest other young people raise money for their charity. I always suggest that they find something much easier to do and that they feel personally connected to. It might be these starving kids they see on TV, homeless shelters they care about, or an animal shelter or center. You don't have to be an organization to do something good for an organization or cause. Just get started. Find something that exists, that excites you, and get ready. I had no idea how hungry the world is for people to take action. And then you do amazing things start to happen. Try it and see for yourself. I'm still young, and thanks to the doctors at St. John, at John Hopkins Hospital, I have a lot of living to do. But this experience has changed everything for me and will shape me and many others for years to come. With the next story that we want to share is the story, The Million Dollar Resale Shop. And this is Marie Hesser, co-founder of Charitable Resale Shop. It feels great to make $1 million with the express purpose of giving most of it away. I know because I'm one in a group of ladies from Stillwater, Oklahoma, who did just that, even though at the beginning we knew very little about making money. This is a story of what you can do when you decide you can. In the fall of 2001, we were a group of 30 women ranging in age from the mid-30s to the mid-80s with a passion to make an impact on our town of 40,000. We decided to open our own resale shop. That might not have sounded like the best idea at the time, since Stillwater already had 4 resale shops. But none were like the one we envisioned. We wanted it to be a unique and to carry beautiful items. We wanted it to be clean, spacious, and bright. We decided to call it Elite Repeat. That's all we had at the beginning. The idea, the inspiration, and the agreement that none of us would be paid a single cent. Yes, we all agreed to be volunteer and give all our profits away. Our original group came from all walks of life: nurses, teachers, homemakers, dental assistants, farmers, wives. The diversity served us well because one person might be good at appraising antiques, another at designing and display. I laugh now because the only thing we didn't have at the beginning was someone who thought she was good with money. You would think that would be important in running a shop. But we didn't care because we thought we could do it anyway. I agree to be the bookkeeper only because no one else wanted the job. I knew nothing about bookkeeping, but we just proceeded as if everything would work out. As a group, we decided our money would go to two charities, Habitat for Humanity and the Local Community Action Agency, which provides service for the homeless and medical clinics for the poor. Our research showed that both organizations had good structures and goals, but were short of cash. That's where we came in. I smiled when I think back to my first visit to the local Habitat for Humanity board. When I told them we were opening this shop and wanted them to be one of our primary beneficiaries, they looked at me as if to say, well, that's nice, as if we were some cute old ladies who were having a bake sale. Let's just say they don't look at us like that anymore. Even though they didn't expect much money from us, the Habitat folks help us fix up our own downtown local store. We brought the supplies and they did the painting and construction. One of those Habitat volunteer was a retired accountant. He became our accountant and business manager. And he has been our true gift. I was more than happy to turn over the pages of ledger work I had done up to that point. Of course, we needed something to sell. Some of us fanned out to local garage sales. If you like what we saw, we would leave our card behind, flyers, saying we would love to have their leftovers. We didn't have to do that for very long. News about the shop spread quickly. By word of mouth, now folks say, take it down to Elite Repeat. They know to take good cared for things. And the money we raise in the Still Waters and surrounding communities. Speaking of money, we need a little seed money to get started for things like paint, clothes rack, and other supplies. Two of us put a total of $10,000. Every cent was paid back to us with interest within 3 months. It was evident that the shop was going to be a success. From the very beginning, the rent was our first shop was $1,300 a month. Our very first day, we made $1,760, which of course covered our rent and then some. We just kept going from there. We have now given Habitat for Humanity more than $200,000. We were funded the building of one of these houses entirely by ourselves. They call it the Elite Repeat House. The Habitat folks help us again when it was time to move. Yes, the shop started by a group of ladies who knew nothing about running a store or a nonprofit organization. Has now doubled in size. We move across the street to a storefront with 7,000 square feet. Our volunteers now go to 65. Now, how do you attract and motivate people to work for no money? Good communication and inclusion. Volunteers who work at the store sit on our board of directors, and we listen to their input on how to best run the shop. There have been challenges as we figure out how to do this. Some people had to become the store manager. Five of us each took a day and made decision that day. That plan worked out very well until one of the managers moved away and started having grandbabies and began caring for them. And one manager's husband retired and wanted her home with him more. We just let the process evolve. Now we have coordinators who can open, close, and collect money. Our store has made over $1 million, and we have given it away. $700,000. The rest of the money goes for things like rent, supplies, utilities, and snacks, coffee breaks, and fellowship for important to us. We have done so very well that we have added a third charity recipient, domestic violence services. Even with the extra recipient, however, we found ourselves at the end of 2006 with an extra $30,000. So we gave it to our Stillwater YMCA and three other charities. You might think we would have problem with the four and other resale shops in Stillwater, but it's never been said that we took away anything from their business. It's more like we created business where there was none. We garnered goodwill by sending customers to other shops if they aren't going for something we didn't have. Our message to others is that if you can be successful in Stillwater, Oklahoma, a town of 40,000, with four other resale shops, then anyone can. We don't have a business plan, only a belief plan, a belief that we could do this and everything we needed would show up. We never thought about what was going to stop us. We only thought about all the help that kept showing up. Like our business managers and volunteers from Habitat for Humanity, with the paying customers and donors who came every day. And they do by keeping with an average of 90 paying customers daily. We now generate about $19,000 sales a month. Each enables us to give $15,000 every month. It's clear that Elite Repeat has taken on a life of its own and will be here to benefit Stillwater long after all of us are gone. And here, these are Darian's takeaway from this story. The women who created the Elite Repeat shop might not have started with what looks like the smartest business plan, but they had something that I think was just as important, and belief plan. They began with a simple belief that they could succeed. They also had a clear vision of what they wanted to create and why. I know that creating a belief plan was the same of the best advice I received as I launched my own business. Write down the answers to this simple question. Why are you in business? What values are important to you? What are your non-negotiable values and your work, your time, and your impact on your family? Your answers will help you create a template for your business, whether you are the boss, an employee, a volunteer. Create your employment with intention. It will be much easier to decide with whom you work and why. Changing gang mentality. Ernesto Luis Romero, co-founder of Homies Unidos. I am the last man you would want to support and give money. That's if you look at my past. You will see a guy who was a drug addict, a gang member, and went to jail 36 times. But let me show you what I've been doing since 1992. Well, you'll see how I've cleared up, left the gang life, and now I'm helping thousands of other gang members do the same. I understand why boys and young men join gangs. They want to place to below. I know that was the case for me. I grew up in San Salvador, El Salvador, in the 80s. When I was 14, civil war was raging all around my country. Boys my age ended up in army by fighting with the guerrillas. My mother didn't want either of those for me, so she went to live with relatives in California. That meant taking what little money my family had to send me over the border illegally. They hired what's called a coyote, someone who smuggles illegal aliens into the United States in the back of a car or a truck. For me, That meant being stuffed in the trunk of an old Cadillac with 10 other people. Once we made it into California, I found my way to relatives just outside Los Angeles in El Quito. They were so happy to see me that they threw a party. We ate chicken and pork chops and all these different foods that I had never tried before. The happy times quickly came to an end. My relatives and I had never had very different ideas about what I should be doing now that I was in the United States. I wanted to go to school, to finish high school, and then maybe go on to something else. But my family told me, no, you must find a job. And we were all hard workers and believed I should do the same, contribute to their household, and send money back home. My uncle got me a job with a mechanic. The man taught me how to work on transmission. He fed me and paid me $1 a day. He also introduced me to drugs. That's where I started smoking weed and snorting cocaine. Before I knew it, I was spending all my money on drugs. My California relatives grew tired of me quickly. What happened with my job? They wanted to know, you don't bring any money home. You are stoned all the time. When I started stealing from my aunts to get more money for drugs, they kicked me out. I was 15 years old, living on the streets of Los Angeles. I found a job parking cars, and the guy who took the money for the tickets soon taught me another skill, how to deal drugs. He explained, if you sell this little $7 bag for 10, then you're going to earn $3. The extra is for you. That sent me on a 5-year spiral into more drugs and more addiction. I felt so alone until I found this group of people who said they wanted to help me. They gave me clothes, meals, showers. They even got me a haircut. I guess it's not surprising that I started hanging out with them. I joined their gang. They felt like my friends and family. I had to help them, even if that meant doing robberies. That's how I started going to jail. 36 jail visits, I started getting the message. Jail was actually a good thing for me. When I was in jail, I wasn't doing drugs. I always finally had a chance to get some of the education I wanted when I first came here to the United States. I earned my GED. My first daughter also helped me change my life. I love her so much that I wanted to clean up my act for her. This was about 1992. A place, a peace had finally come to El Salvador. I know it was time for me to go home. Going back to San Salvador, I saw the same gang problems as in the United States, only worse. So many of the young people grew up in unstable family environments because of the war. Unemployment was also 50%, and the gangs gave lost young men a place to belong. But by now, I understood what there was, that there was a better way. Instead of doing drugs and alcohol, I started making projects for kids to give them an alternative to drugs and gangs. In 1996, I gave a bunch of rival gang members to sit down and help form Homies Unidos. That meant Homies United. The young people can belong to something positive that can give value to their lives. 16 other former gang members work with me in San Salvador. We also have people working back in California. It's not easy getting through to young people. Many don't seem like seeing any other way of life because their homes are shattered. The gangs, as bad as they are the only stability these young people know. Many are scared of anything as they don't think twice about using intravenous drugs, getting tattoos with dirty needles, and having unprotected sex. Our efforts to break through to these hardcore gangsters means being among them constantly, communicating, and never giving up. Most of these kids are so used to violence, it is as they see, and they can't imagine a different world. We encourage them to see that the violence they experience on a daily basis isn't the way life always has to be, and that they can create a different kind of safety net for themselves. For those who decide to come out of the gang, Homie Unidos offers them good options, a place to live in El Salvador and Los Angeles. These kids face a lot of discrimination. No one wants to hire someone who shaves his head and has a bunch of tattoos. So we show them other ways to empower themselves. For example, we offer them an Epiphany program. This is a 10-week skills program where we teach young people jobs and communication skills so well as how to rely on, how to apply for jobs and so on. The class also gives them new options for dealing with domestic violence and criminal activities that goes on around them, and also offer tattoo removal. Tattoos are a major part of the gang members' identity. When they decide to move, their upward old tattoos can be a problem. if gang members agree to go through the Epiphany program, we will help them get the tattoos removed. This is like a snake shedding its skin. Self-esteem increase immediately and help the young people take a step into the direction of a better life. The Epiphany program also teaches them business skills so they can open their own businesses as they wish. That might, for example, mean teaching them how to bake so they can open their own bakeries. The program has been very effective. Even we have helped more than 5,000 gang members giving up gang rehab, education, and job training. More than 1,200 have learned enough to leave the gang life, but sometimes gang members just don't want to leave. We don't give up. And these kids, instead, we encourage them to look into the mirror and be honest with themselves. Is this the life they really want? We tell them to be very honest with themselves because they know exactly what the consequences are of staying in the gang. They aren't stupid. We just encourage them to be honest. For the family members of these kids, the kids in gang, we also offer support. We encourage them to be involved in the kids' lives, such as the possibility to listen to them, even if they don't agree with the choices of the kids are making. We urge families to try to put themselves in the kids' shoes and win them back instead of judging brutally and attacking them. This sort of strict and loving approach builds trust over time. Most gangs are about taking lives. We are about taking lives. We face a constant barrage of obstacles in accomplishing this, but it has happened. Someone has to step up. The Homies United is doing so. Oh, what an amazing, powerful story. Next week we will, next Sunday, I think if we do not have a guest for the full time, we are going to go into the story of Zainab Salbi, Compassion in Action. What an amazing story. I encourage you to join me tomorrow evening when I will be broadcasting simultaneously with Building Your Extraordinary Business. And I want to remind you about the Vision Weekend Conference coming up March the 23rd through the 26th at the Broadway Millennium Hotel in New York City. Join us in New York City March the 23rd through the 26th. The Vision Weekend Conference 2012 is a conference designed to educate, inspire, and empower entrepreneurs and small business people. Who should attend the Vision Weekend conference? Attendees will gain insight into growing your business and making more money, attract and retain more customers and clients. Learn and understand creative marketing techniques into your brand and your business. Understand how social media can help you leverage the global marketplace. Build, retain, and a network, with entrepreneurs and peers. who should attend the Vision Weekend Conference? Small business owners and entrepreneurs, anyone who is looking to start their own businesses, marketing, marketers, authors, coaches, sales professionals, or those who are currently serving as or desiring to be leaders in their organization. We look forward to see you there. We have a wide array of speakers in the entrepreneurial expertise and niche. Visit us at DaphneClarkHudson.com and register for the Vision Weekend Conference. You can also become an entrepreneur. You can also become an affiliate to help promote the entrepreneurial conference by clicking on the affiliate button once you get there on the website. We are just so excited about the conference and we look forward to having you join us there March the 23rd through the 26th at the prestigious Broadway Millennium Hotel. Remember, we are committed to helping you manifest your vision.
To my destiny. I know what I'm here for.